Welcome back to the Couch Rider Report podcast, All Pats on Deck, episode 5. I am your host, as always, the guy, Damian Parson. What's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Hope everyone is enjoying their day. And, you know, we're trying to progressively get through the week. I want to give a quick shout out, you know, to the 2017 NBA champions, Golden State Warriors, for closing the series out last night in a great fashion versus the Cavs in 5-1, you know, 4-1, I'm sorry, in 5 games, 4-1, as I predicted that they would do. Kevin Durant was the MVP, so I want to give a big shout-out to Golden State, all the Golden State fans, the true ones, KD, Steph, you know, you guys took down the king, and, hey, it is what it is. Sorry, Cavs fans, I mean LeBron fans, whatever, whoever you are, sorry, but your king lost. So big shout out to Golden State. And now for us football fanatics, us football fans, us football lovers, those people who really love the true sport that everyone in America falls for every year, the NFL is shortly away. It's coming back. It's crawling back to us. We're crawling back to it. We're, you know, we had to get through that horrible NBA playoffs, but we're getting there, guys. We are getting there. That's the big part. The big thing is we're getting there, you know. Mini camps start today. Mandatory mini camps. We had OTAs and everything, voluntary workouts. But now, today was the beginning of the mandatory workouts, and those began today. So after mandatory workouts, you already know what's next. It's training camp. What's at the training camp? Preseason. Then it's the season, baby. So we're almost there. You know, we're getting into the home stretch, you know. But definitely, you know, like I said, again, shout out to Golden State and even shout out to LeBron and the Cavs for, you know, just a good, it was a good series to watch for the most part, you know, entertaining, you know, a lot of different things. But like I said, like in the most Patriot Bill Belichickian fashion, we're on the NFL season, right? We're on to the NFL. But so, yeah, let's go ahead and jump right into it. And if I sound a little off, I would like to just tell you guys, take it for love. I am getting over a cold. That's why I'm not at work at the moment. Yeah, they sent me back home because I was sick. And you can't have, you know, even though I could have been in my own little office just chilling, I felt like crap. So I was like, well, you know, I've taken some meds and I'm feeling all right. So I was like, hey, why not bring a Patriot podcast? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, let's get it going. Let's jump right into it. Just a couple days ago, the New England Patriots received their Super Bowl winning rings after, you know, from back in February, for the biggest and greatest comeback in NFL history in the Super Bowl, down 28-3 to the Atlanta Falcons, and they came back and won the game. They received their rings. Those rings are gorgeous, by the way. You know, awesome rings. Tom Brady, the whole crew, Gronk, all those guys were there just looking sharp and dapper. You know, Giselle was out there looking beautiful as always. Robert Kraft, the OG, out there just chilling, you know, doing his thing. But big shout out to my boys and to my team, the New England Patriots, for just being able to get those rings and celebrate them. I know I got one in the mail coming since I couldn't make it to the ceremony. But I know I got one coming. You know, shout out Robert Kraft. Yeah, I know I got one coming. But yeah, definitely, it was a great thing to see. And then, of course, in true Patriot fashion, we are trolls, you know, in our own right. The Patriots have 283 diamonds in their Super Bowl rings to show off the 28-3 deficit that they came back from. And that's just a true troll fashion. I loved it. It was hilarious to me when I read it. I was like, wow, 283, huh? Really? Falcon fans, I'm sorry. You guys could have stopped that, but you didn't. So you kind of deserve it. You know what I mean? When you think about it, just stop and think about it. You kind of deserve this because you were up 28-3. So you kind of listen. The Warriors had they deserved the jokes and criticism and everything else that they received all year from, you know, blowing a 3-1 lead. So they just came back and redeemed themselves, where in 2 years nobody's ever going to think about the fact that they blew a 3-1 lead. It's going to think about the fact they won a NBA title last night. So, yeah, you know, it is what it is, right? You guys did this to yourselves. So, yeah, I just wanted to go ahead and give a quick shout-out to that, you know, when we jump into it. Also, you know, as we continue to move along, just a couple days ago, Julian Edelman, star slot receiver for New England Patriots, signed a 2-year extension. He signed an extension. I believe the extension is to be worth up to, if I'm not mistaken, it's supposed to be worth up to 11 mil, and that will secure him through with New England through 2019. You know, he's coming off a career high in yardage, you know, at the age of 30, by the way. That's the crazy thing. At the age of 30, he, you know, he hauled in 98 receptions, career high, 1,106 yards. He only had 3 receiving touchdowns, but he was just a reliable presence and source when he put in work, you know, for the team, especially when Gronk went down. When Gronk went down and Martellus Bennett was hobbled all year with an injury, so we didn't even get a fully healthy, you know, Martellus Bennett all year. And, you know, Amendola was dealing with injuries. We had Malcolm Mitchell, who was a rookie coming in. At the end of the day, man, you can never, ever, ever, you know, discredit the presence of Julian Edelman. He's a dog out there, man, putting in work, fighting with whoever blocks. This guy blocks like he's a bigger receiver. I've literally sat there watching film and watch him pancake corners. I've watched him crack back on linebackers. He doesn't care. Will he probably have a concussion here or there? Probably, because he doesn't mind, you know, just running full head on into a defender when trying to make a play, you know, off the ball. He's just a great teammate, great player. I'm so happy to have him on the Patriots. So big up, yeah. It's deserved. Through, you know, like I said, it's a 2-year extension. He's going to be 31 during the season. By the time the extension is over, he'll be 33, going on 34 maybe. You know, who knows? He may retire. He may call it quits, whatever the case may be. But I think he should, you know, unlike Welker, who I'm happy is gone, I'm happy to keep Edelman. I'm happy to keep Edelman because I believe he can still be that chain mover, still be that, you know, that very integral piece to our offense that just keeps, you know, that glue guy. Him and, you know, especially when Gronk was out, he was our glue guy big time. So much, you know, much love to it. Let's go ahead and change the narrative real quick, and let's go ahead and talk about the observations, you know, some observations from me. Like I said, minicamp started today, guys. So let's just kind of jump into that real quick and talk about some of the things that, you know, that's been happening today in minicamp. One thing that I've been reading and being, you know, jumped into when I was doing some research and looking at everything, Dwayne Allen is the tight end from the Indianapolis Colts that we received from a trade. And it's crazy because, you know, when you look at Gronk, you know, him being injured, but he's fully healthy now, but we'll get into that a little bit later. You always need a serviceable or a good enough backup. Well, Dwayne Allen right now has been struggling since OTAs to get on the same page with Brady somewhat. I know the size difference. When you look at tight ends, the size difference is a factor. Dwayne Allen is only, I think, 6'3", when Martellus Bennett was 6'6", 6'7". You know, Gronkowski, 6'6", 6'7". You know, that's a 4-inch difference. So, of course, you know, height does play a part, especially when, you know, you're used to throwing two bigger targets, you know, with the tight end position. So, I could see that being a little bit of an issue. But definitely, he's more so just struggling with drops. And we all know, if you go back a couple of years with Aaron Dobson, Kim Brown Tompkins, even, you know, Chad Ochocinco, he couldn't pick up the offense. But the main thing is, when Brady wants to trust you, the biggest thing is being able to catch the ball, secure the ball. That's not even just with Brady. That's with Bill too. Because you look at Stephen Ridley, he could never hold on to the ball, so he could never be trusted. And, you know, that was his, you know, downfall with the Patriots, and as well as getting injured. And, you know, I don't know where he is now, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, so, you know, being able to hold on to the ball is definitely key. But let's go over some things real quick, you know, from, you know, just some observations from practice today. Tom Brady went 35 of 43 in team drills, and 27 of 34 and 11 on 11. So he pretty much was sharp. He was Tom Brady. Jimmy Garoppolo is dealing with a little leg injury, but from the reports, if this was a quote unquote real practice day where, you know, he needed to practice, it would have been no problem. He would have been able to practice. He would have been just fine. You know, it's not that big of a deal, and you know, it is what it is, right? So there's that. But you know, while he was out and he's working on conditioning and everything, because of course, even though you may not be practicing, you're never going to just sit there and do nothing. He was working on another field, conditioning or working on the sideline conditioning and everything. But Jacoby Brissett took his place. Brissett, who's going into his second year out of North Carolina State, the project quarterback that they drafted last year, and I believe the third or fourth round, you know, just to be an insurance while Brady was out, and he came up big. We needed him because we didn't have any other quarterbacks when Jimmy got hurt versus Miami in week two last year. He had a shaky day. He went 23 of 37 with an incompletion overall, and 16 of 29 with an incompletion and 11 on 11s. He ended the practice. He struggled at the end of practice. He ended the practice 3 of 9 with a pick. So he still learned. Like I said, he's a project. You know, some people are like, oh man, you know, we don't need him. No, just hold off. He's a project. He's learning. And, you know, when you look at what he dealt with and how he was used in college, the guy, he has a learning curve. He has to get up there, and he's in the right spot. So he just has to continue to grow. Rookie linebacker that I talked about a couple weeks ago, Harvey Lange, picked off Brissett in 11-on-11s. He made a pass breakup in minicamp. His coverage skills are showing up early in his NFL career. That's big, and I'm going to tell you why. I talked about that. What Elandon Roberts, you know, slated to be the linebacker starting beside Dante Hightower early, you know, on early downs, we needed someone who could cover. Calvin Noy can. He can also blitz because we don't have Jamie Collins anymore. So if Harvey Lange, who is, you know, I think he's like 240, 250, if I'm not mistaken, you know, he can tackle, he can play on the edge. But if, you know, he can continue to grow in coverage, that's big. That's huge for the defense to put beside Dante Hightower. Malcolm Butler had a pretty good day. He had two pass breakups, one against Brady, one against Brissett. But he was beat by the newly acquired Brandon Cooks. And pretty sure, you know, I'm pretty sure he's a little happy. Like, okay, you got me, but at least it's in practice. I don't have to worry about seeing you in game. Definitely, you know, the guys fighting for roster spot, you know, DeAndre White. He dropped two passes. Like I said, Dwayne Allen dropped one. You know, it was, you know, that's not good to be dropping passes. You know what I mean? Let's see here. Man, you got Cyrus Jones. And, you know, the main thing is Cyrus Jones muffed the catch. You know, he has to get better. You know, he has to get better when it comes down to pretty much catching the ball, and that's not just interceptions. He's not a receiver, but catching, you know, and fielding punts, you got to get better with that. He has to get better with that. I think Dante Hightower joined Garoppolo, as well as safety Daron Harmon and wide receiver Michael Mitchell worked in a separate field, just conditioning pretty much and everything like that. So, you know, that's big. It seems like Cooks and Brady have a solid rapport right now. They have a solid rapport. They're you know, pretty much getting on the same page. You know, like I've read just a minute ago, you know, he threw a touchdown. Well, he threw a 60-yard pass he threw a 60-yard pass to Cooks in one practice. He also, you know, Cooks beat Butler, and they, you know, from when the reports are in, you know, one of the coaches said Cooks is just a different player. He's a different breed. He said, this guy is a game changer. He has a different gear. We all know this guy is fast, man. He ran the 4.3s, 4.2s at the, you know, coming into the you know, league at the combine. He's a speed demon, man. He takes the top off the defense, everything. But I think the most underrated part is he runs pretty good routes. And for him to be a smaller guy, he has a bigger man's attitude, a la Steve Smith. He doesn't talk as much. He's not as bulky. Steve Smith was built a little differently. Steve Smith will, you know, get in your face, fight you, grab you, shove you down, talk about your mom and your kids and everything else. But, you know, you watch his highlight, you watch Cook's highlights in his game film, you'll see him go up and get the ball in multiple coverage, you know, with two or three guys draped around him, he will go up and get it. And that's rare for a smaller guy. You know, that's really rare for a smaller guy. So that's big, in my opinion. That's huge. If you can go ahead and the main thing is him and Brady getting on the same page, him and Brady working together. And when you have that going on, you know, that's, like I said, that's big, man. Because when you have safeties having to worry about him getting over the top. And I know that, you know, and another thing they're working on in this offseason is the Patriot receivers working off of press coverage. And that's why bringing in Cooks and, of course, having, because when you look at it, if Gronk was in the Super Bowl, the Falcons could not have played one-on-one man-to-man coverage with the robber anyway. They wouldn't have been able to do that because they would have had to place two guys. Deion Jones is a good young linebacker, but there's absolutely no way that young man would have been able to guard Gronk one-on-one. Keanu Neal? No. Cam Chancellor can't guard him one-on-one. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and I'm going to be honest with you. Anybody who these defenders who want to blame Revis. A couple years ago when Revis came to the Patriots back in 04 and 14, sorry, Revis, he said, and there were so many reports that him and Gronk will go on the sideline after practice and work on releases. And he pretty much taught Gronk how to get off of press coverage from corners and how corners would play him, how he would play Gronk if he had to cover him and different things of that nature. So that really, you know, just created another aspect of this monster that we call Rob Gronkowski. So, you know, again, the Patriots want to work on the receivers getting off press coverage. Gronk's healthy. You can't play press man like that because of the simple fact of the matter is no team has a single guy that you can line up on Gronk. No team. Let me reiterate that. No team has that one guy that you can say for the entire game. The entire game. I don't care if it's 150 snaps. You got Gronk one-on-one. No one has that guy, man. Sherman can't do it. Patrick Peterson can't do it. Cam Chancellor can't do it. Nobody can do it for an entire game. You may win battles, but the ultimate thing is winning the war. And if you win a couple battles in the game, but he finishes still with 8 catches, 110 yards, and 2 touchdowns, and they win the game, that's winning the war. So, you know, that's just how it goes. So definitely, you know, having Gronk back and everything will help against man coverage. But still, yeah, the receivers all across the board have to work on getting stronger and quicker off of press coverage. I've seen Cooks do it pretty well. Edelman's pretty good at it. And when guys are able to grab you, it takes time off of the route. And the offensive line has to block a little bit longer until you're able to release after 5 yards and try to create some separation. So a lot of it could be scheming, moving guys, mixing motions, different things of that nature, a lot of shifts, and just movement before the snap to get guys free. And that's what I could see happening, but hopefully they continue to. And that's what having these corners, man, you know, as before I go, jump into the corners real quick, that's what having these corners will do. Because when you look at, like I said, some of my last episode, when you have pretty much Stephon Gilmore, Malcolm Butler, Cyrus Jones, Eric Rowe, Justin Coleman, and the list goes on, Jonathan Jones, and so forth and so on. When you have those type of corners who could get in your face as a receiver and be physical with you, press you, hit you in the mouth, grab you, just abuse you at the line of scrimmage. And when you have those type of guys, that's what you need to practice against. And I've taken shots at Logan Ryan. Logan Ryan is a good corner. He's not a bad guy. He's not a complete bum. None of that stuff. He's a good corner. But he's also not the most physical corner. He's also not the quickest corner. He's also not a guy who can play press coverage in the slot and on the outside all game long. A la look at when he's played the Steelers. Kobe Hamilton's torched him, and so has Eli Rogers. This guy has lost against some very average corners. I'm just going to be honest about it. So, you know, it is what it is. So now he's gone. And when you add in, like I said, Stephon Gilmore to Butler, to Eric Rowe, to Cyrus Jones, those four guys right there are all physical press corners. All want to get in your face. They want to hit you. They don't want to be off the ball. They want to hit you in the face. They want to throw off the timing. And with the receivers being able to practice against that, somebody as myself, as a former player in high school, I loved being able to practice against guys who excelled in something that I found as a weakness of mine. And if I could go one-on-one with them, keep working at it, keep pushing, keep fighting until that weakness becomes one of my strengths, it made me a better player and it made them a better player. So at the end of the day, that makes the team better. And that's what I see happening, and I'm hoping to happen, is I want to see, because you got to look at what teams play press man. You know, the Steelers want to. They drafted Cameron Sutton. They're trying to develop that type of scheme so that they can beat the Patriots. Who else plays press man coverage? I know the Denver Broncos does. And, yeah, we beat them last year, but they've had our number a few times. Well, in Denver anyway. So, and I think we play them in Denver again. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, the Ravens will get in your face. And, you know, they've always been very physical and want to attack you and beat you down and everything else like that. You know, you look at the Vikings defenses. I'm just naming some defenses that will get in your face. The Seattle Seahawks will get in your face. They're defenses that will get in your grill as corners and say, hey, I'm going to hit you in the mouth. What are you going to do about it? You know, the Jaguars with that tandem that they got out there with, you know, Jalen Ramsey and AJ Bouye, they will get in your face. So having the ability to work off of that, get better with that in practice, that's key. That's so key to be able to work on those things in practice versus physical press corners, so that when you face physical press corners, you know how to get off of the press, you know how to release, you develop different types of releases. Look at Chad Ochocinco, you know, his highlights. When he got up to the line, it was hard to get your hands on him. He was too quick, too slick, too shifty, and just too smooth, you know, at times. So, again, that's what you need. That's pretty much what you need. And I'm excited to see the receiving core and the cornerbacks that we have. Because when you look at it right now, you know, the battle just at the third spot at the slot corner, you have Eric Rowe and Cyrus Jones both battling for that spot. So keep an eye on that. I've told you before, keep an eye out for that particular position battle, because Eric Rowe is a taller corner. He's around 6 foot to 6'2", somewhere in there, maybe 6'3", because he used to play safety in college. So having him in a slot, you know, you normally get bigger slot corners. It's normally the smaller guys like the Cyrus Joneses who had the more hip fluidity and just the ability to open their hips at any point, snap, flip, turn on a dime. You know, you don't really want a tall, lanky corner in the slot against smaller guys, because it's, you know, yeah, they could press them, but if they miss on the press or whiff on the jam, you know, it's a lot of space around them and things can happen. So that's just what that is. So that's a, you know, right now it's just pretty much it's a luxury. It is a luxury because the Patriots can mix and match. Like I said, if there's a smaller guy and they want to put Butler in the slot, if the, you know, you have two number one. That's why I want Butler to stay. And I want Butler to get re-signed, because you have two legit number one corners. How many teams can say, I have two number one corners? No, not many teams. The Broncos. Who else? Who else can say, we have two number one corners? The Broncos, the Jags. You know, you could say the Chargers with, you know, Jason Verrett and my mind went blank. Oh, gosh. Forgot the young man's name. Ah, man, Casey Hayward, yeah. So, you know, those two guys, I mean, but again, how many teams can say we have two legit number one corners? You know, the Giants with DRC and the Rabbit, or whatever they call them, the Jack Rabbit, I think, you know. So, again, that's just how I look at it. We have two legit number one corners. And that's big. That's big. So I'm excited about that. Let's go into the last topic here before I close the show out. Like I said, as I brought up with Rob Gronkowski, him, you know, if he was in the Super Bowl, I don't think the Patriots are down 28-3. I don't think the Patriots struggle on offense with that physical press man type of scheme that they ran, because you didn't have anybody to guard Gronk. So the question that, you know, but Gronk was hurt, and that's been a theme, you know, 10, 11 games, and then he's out, or whatever the case may be. We need him healthy all year, if possible, to help him with that. Now, the question I'm about to pose also comes with whether or not Dwayne Allen can get on the same page with Tom Brady and be a reliable pass-catching target. But would you, or should the Patriots put Gronk on a pitch count all year long? Put him on a pitch count. These are the type of snap, the amount of number of snaps we want you to play per game. If we feel that if it's a close situation, we need you since you're our best offensive weapon, you're so clutch, fine, we'll play you. But in the same realm, we need you for the postseason. We went without you, but still, yeah, we still want you. We still need you to really change the dynamic on our offense. So, again, should they put him on the pitch count? My personal opinion, I say yes. I say the Patriots should put Rob Gronkowski on a pitch count. Just for the simple fact of the matter is, when you put him on a pitch count, you lessen his snaps and use him, you know, sparingly when needed, but you don't overdo it. You know, you don't overdo it. Don't have him out there with all the, you know, with the same snap counts as the rest of the starters. I say just watch his snap count. Allow him to stay healthy. Allow him to get off the field some, rest up some, whatever. You know, I personally feel like if you're playing the Browns, don't play Gronk. That's my opinion. If you're playing a lesser opponent and you know you're going to, and you truly know you're going to win, you know this is a game that you can win with or without Gronk, take Gronk out. Let him rest. I know as a competitor, you never want to do that, or you never want to be in that situation. And I know Gronk would not want that. But at the same time, when a team needs you in the postseason, that's more important than you being out there versus the Browns. No one gives a crap about the Browns, man. You know, shout out to Cleveland. but no one believes the Browns can beat the Patriots. You know, yes, if we're playing the Steelers, sure. Okay, cool. Yeah, let's do that. But we blew the Steelers out even without you, Gronk. So my point is, the simple fact of the matter, especially with the added weapons, with Malcolm Mitchell most likely having a bigger role, with Chris Hogan coming back, Edelman, Amendola, Austin Carr, Andrew Hawkins, Brandon Cooks, of course, like I said, Dwayne Allen, James O'Shaughnessy that they traded with, the Chiefs during the draft for him. You know, just if you're not needed, in my opinion, if you're not needed, I don't feel that the need to play you per se. Like I said, if we're playing a lowly team that cannot play with us, hey, Gronk, just take the day, man. Just take the day. You're good. I know fantasy owners aren't going to like it. I get it. I understand. But again, this is the Patriots. We don't do anything to help fantasy owners. So it is what it is. That's just my opinion. I feel like we should put Gronk on the pitch count and just limit him. Limit him. Allow him to stay healthy so that we can continue to the blitz for six, man. You know, just fight on and push. We strive for five and we got it. Let's hit the road and go for six. You know, Tom Brady said, I caught up to Montana and Bradshaw. I tied them. I surpassed them in rings. Now I want to get up to MJ. You know, I want to get up to MJ. And if I tie MJ and I stay there, whatever, I want to get in that realm. So I say, if you really want to get there, push, fight through it, but find a way to get Gronk a pitch count. That's just my opinion. You guys may not agree with it because you're like, oh, man, we need him on the field. Not every game, man. There's some games we don't even need Gronk because, you know, the team that we're playing may not be able to match up well, even with the other weapons that we have. And not adding, you know, Deion Lewis, James White, Mike Gillisley, Rex Burkhead. This is a loaded offense, man. A loaded offense. So that's just my point. That's just my point of view. That's just my point of view. I believe Gronk should be on the pitch count. But again, we shall see. I just want him to be healthy during the postseason so we could be at full strength, and let's keep pushing like that. But again, that's it for the show today, guys. You know, nice, short, and sweet. Talked about minicamp and Gronk and Edelman and the Dwayne Allen, Cooks, Brady. We talked about pretty much everything that we could talk about right now. And just keep your eyes out on everything when it comes down to minicamp, and the training camp will be here shortly. So football's almost back, guys. Football's almost back. I am your host, as always. Again, follow us on Twitter at CouchRR. That's, again, on Twitter, CouchRR. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Podomatic, whatever source you're using to subscribe, like, share, leave reviews. If you got any topics, guys, you want us to address, hit us up. We will happily, and I mean happily, address it. We have a lot of content coming your way this football season. We got some UFC stuff, some boxing stuff. Of course, we touched on the NBA. And like I said, football, I'm your guy. Me, Marv, Jeremy, Jermaine. Man, Greg's been on the show. Ryan Hurley's been on the show. Crev Anderson's been on the show. Be on the lookout for former UConn Husky, Ashley Battle, who played with Diana Taurasi and played under Coach Oriema. So definitely, we got a lot of stuff coming to you guys, all right? So just be on the lookout. Like I said, subscribe, share, like, everything, all right? Do it. But I am your host, as always, Damian Parson, bringing the original sports perspective from our couch to yours. Thank you guys for joining me. Y'all guys have a great day.